At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. We've been reporting throughout the day on the mass shooting in Las Vegas, the worst mass shooting in modern U.S. history. At least 59 people have died and more than 500 were injured. Police found the gunman dead, and we've learned he had connections to North Texas. KERA's Stella Chavez reports.
Mesquite police say 64-year-old Stephen Paddock lived in the Dallas suburb from 2004 to 2012. Dallas County property records show Paddock owned a home on Clear Lake Lane from 2004 to 2009. The home was then transferred to his mother until 2014. Some of Stephen Paddock's old neighbors say they only saw him a handful of times and didn't interact with him much. George Huerta says he occasionally talked with Paddock's mom. He says she was friendly. He only saw Paddock when he was visiting his mom. Paddock wasn't very social, and he would only talk if you talked to him, Huerta says. After Paddock's mom moved to Florida, she sent Huerta's oranges. He hasn't stayed in touch with her. The Dallas Morning News reports Paddock once managed an apartment complex in Mesquite. Mesquite police say Paddock owned a few rental properties. Police say there's no indication they had contact with him. Maria Almeida, who also lives on Clear Lake Lane, says she and her husband can't believe the news.
They just looked like normal people. They didn't talk. She was very quiet. I mean, we were neighbors for years, and all she would do is just come out, get her mail, and take care of her yard. And she would just wave, say hi.
Stephen Paddock's brother lives in Florida. He told the Orlando Sentinel he's dumbfounded by the shooting and can't understand what happened. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
We have more coverage of the Las Vegas shooting at KERANews.org. And now to think. When you hear the term concentration camps, our minds immediately go to the horror unleashed by the Nazis during World War II. Throughout history, though, nearly every country in the world has used concentration camps, and some still exist. Today on Think, journalist Andrea Pitzer talked with Chris Boyd about how these camps alter the places where they are based, even decades after their use.
In order to justify doing this, you have to demonize the group. This isn't really just human nature. People say, oh, it's human nature to lock people up this way. It isn't really human nature so much as there's a part of us that may be willing to if somebody's pushing that agenda. And so when you get governments demonizing a certain group in order to justify locking them up, then even those who aren't locked up can get caught up in that same hatred and that same mistreatment. There are whole communities that have been shattered. For instance, you know, I think of the Japanese American communities in California during World War II, the German communities in England, the English communities in Germany during World War I. When you lock up a significant portion of these people and they've lost everything and the rest outside are demonized, it's very hard for them to bind back together as a whole community ever.
Andrea Pitzer is the author of One Long Night, A Global History of Concentration Camps. She speaks tonight in about 30 minutes at the World Affairs Council of Dallas-Fort Worth. This episode of Think rears tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. When Amazon announced plans in September to build a second North American headquarters, it set off a mad scramble by cities in North Texas and beyond. Dallas-Fort Worth faces tough competition to land the online retail giant. KERA's Christopher Connolly has been following the North Texas effort. He talked with KERA's Eric Austin.
Chris, this has become a huge, very public competition. What is Amazon offering? What's the prize here?
Amazon says this second headquarters will be just as important as their original Seattle headquarters. So with the second site, the company promises up to 50,000 jobs at an average salary of $100,000. They're looking to build up to 8 million square feet of office space over the next decade. So just the construction alone would be a boon. In Seattle, the company says its offices generate about $38 billion a year to the local economy. So yeah, this is the kind of thing that gets city officials, economic development folks, chambers of commerce, people licking their chops.
Okay, Amazon isn't going to build just anywhere, though. So what do they want?
Right. So they're looking for a big city. They're looking for metro areas with more than a million people. They say they want a relatively inexpensive place to build and operate. So that's good for Dallas-Fort Worth. They're also looking for strong schools, a talented workforce, and also good transportation. And that last one might actually ding North Texas.
Why? What makes you say that?
Well, Dallas itself boasts the most miles of light rail in the country. Fort Worth hasn't invested very heavily in transit, and there's not a ton in the suburbs either. According to the Federal Transit Administration, North Texas isn't even in the top 100 metro areas for public transit ridership. That said, Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport helps the region's chances. That's because proximity to a major international airport is one of the things that Amazon wants.
In North Texas, many cities are floating the idea that they are the best place for the new headquarters. So who in North Texas is dreaming of landing Amazon?
Right. Dallas and Fort Worth are definitely working for it. But it doesn't stop there. Denton, Grapevine, Irving, a dozen cities all told. Frisco even made a video featuring Mayor Jeff Cheney.
Here in the city of Frisco, we live, work, and play by our motto, Progress in Motion. Frisco is a city that thinks outside the box.
In Dallas, Trinity Groves is looking at, like, a serious contender. That's the area just west of the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge. They've got the space and the proximity to amenities and transit. Deep Ellum has also been floated as a potential site. In Fort Worth, city leaders are talking about Panther Island as a good fit for Amazon. That's that huge project just north of downtown. Fort Worth already has a relationship with Amazon. There are fulfillment centers in North Fort Worth and just outside in Hazlet. Plus, the Star Telegram reports that Amazon chief Jeff Bezos' sister lived in Fort Worth in the 90s, and he's said to be a big fan of Joe T. Garcia's salsa.
Huh, who knew? So if Amazon wants to come to North Texas, how would they choose among all these cities?
Right, so here's the thing. In the long run, Amazon wants each metro area to submit just one proposal, which means that they'll have to congeal around one or maybe a couple sites and pitch the Dallas-Fort Worth area as a region by that October 19th deadline.
Lots of positives being mentioned about attracting Amazon. What are the downsides, if there are any, to landing a company like Amazon?
Well, two things. First, Amazon is also looking for a good deal. They want tax breaks, subsidies. Basically, cities and states have to offer up a lot of money and other financial enticements to be attractive. And this is how economic development works these days when it comes to landing these big corporate campuses. And critics say these kinds of mega deals are essentially a race to the bottom that squander public dollars. There's also some potential downside to adding tens of thousands of workers in the middle of a city.
Is that a concern in Seattle?
Yeah, Amazon's been considered mostly a benefit to downtown Seattle, but it's also been credited with creating traffic problems, just getting people to and from. And we're talking about a lot of high-paid workers, which is generally a good thing, but it's also helped lead to skyrocketing housing prices in Seattle.
You know, that sounds familiar here in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Exactly. We've already seen a lot of big companies move to North Texas in recent years, and it's helped create this affordable housing crunch here as well.
That's KERA's Christopher Connolly, who covers Fort Worth. Thanks so much, Chris.
Sure thing.
And now, a programming note. Marketplace will not air tonight at 6:30. Instead, we'll bring you the latest news on the mass shooting in Las Vegas. We'll continue with All Things Considered until 8 this evening. Then at 8, we'll air a one-hour special report from NPR on the shooting with more reporting and analysis. Partly cloudy skies in store for us this evening. Should be a slight chance of rain with a low around 74. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A 50% chance of showers with the high near 84. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.